Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to mention that there are two dynamic things that seem to be missing in much of the, I don't know, maybe say traditional body of Christ, maybe. I don't know, because I hate to sound critical, but it's just the pure teaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. They seem to be evidently gone. Francis Schaeffer, a long time ago, said, I think it was him, somebody along that line theologically said, what if you remove the Holy Spirit's functioning in the church? Would it change any? Would it have any effect at all? Because there are many that it's just kind of like a club atmosphere, whatever, you just go to it and go home and no change ever happens. And you can see the evidence of that because of the culture of the world taking over and people surrendering biblical values to transient temporal values. So, let me go ahead and get one of those as well. Can I have one of those? Let's turn it over and look on the back there for a minute. During this 40-day time of prayer and fasting, these are some prayer points. I mentioned I put some things there last week. The first thing I wanted to start with is on Monday is I wanted you to pray for your own heart and your family to be renewed in the loving presence of God. That would mean you maintain that thing. And pray for a confidence and boldness in your faith in the Lord to grow during these days. So the focus is on you just entering in. Second day is about, first day is you and your family. Second day is about those in your sphere of influence to be ministered to in the Lord. Ask for God's presence, the convicting presence for those that you know that walk away and they're wayward. Or be mindful as well of sowing seeds of love in their lives. Makes a big difference. Also on Wednesday, we want to ask all of us to pray for every soul in this North Central West Virginia to be saved. Every person. Claim them all. Claim them all. Claim them all. You know why I asked that prayer? First of all, it was really prodded in my heart toward my spiritual dad, Larry Titus. But here's the point. Some people are actually never prayed for. So doggone it. What if your and my prayer gets them into heaven? The Lord said, thank you for taking that on because they were never prayed for. And there needs to be a partnership. And there's some in this room. Somebody prayed. You didn't know who it was. Everybody had somebody praying for them, really. That's what happened. And the fruit of that is right here, right? I can go a long time in that. And then the Thursday, we're going to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church to turn to God, to turn from idols, of perversion, mammon, addictions, whatever. Pray for a healing and delivering power of Jesus to come upon the church. So we lift up the church. Then we want to pray on Friday for the salvation of our government leaders and deception to be broken from their eyes and hearts. Ask God's intervention against oppressive laws. Enough said there, huh? And the Saturday, pray for the persecuted church to be strengthened in their faith and comforted in their suffering, because they're all over the place right now. And also, I just wanted to add, pray for those in forced slavery, either sexual slavery. Ask for both their salvation and their rescue. So we want to just cover these things. I might have the same list or change it up a little bit next. But isn't that viable points? So it was funny. I just labored over it for a couple of days, and suddenly God says, are you ready? Boom. All came out right there. So that'll give us focus. Every day we're on the same page, right? So take that, put wherever you do your devotional part time, or just have that nearby in your Bible when you're driving along or whatever, and let's all be in agreement, okay? Hallelujah. Today's message title is, what's this about suffering for Christ? What's this about suffering for Christ? In the American church, this is an alien subject. This is not even mentioned. This is not real. And it's like, whoa, it's supposed to be about, I get a new house, a new car, right? Is that what it is? Everything's about me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. The body of Christ, unfortunately, sometimes looks like a big adult with diapers on, making messes everywhere. Oh, you don't agree with me. I got my itching ears. I'm leaving. I'm going to go over here. Oh, I'm going to do it, right? Following maybe somebody who's a star, some living your life vicariously through somebody else who is successful and leaving all your brokenness intact, whereas Jesus wants to bring healing to you. Is that right? Are you one of the people that finally said, I've had enough? I've had enough with what it was, and I want Jesus. I want something else because this is not working, right? But then you come, because here's the deal. There's going to be things that just kind of creep up and happen when you say yes to the Lord. And so everybody's got their stories about the reality of what I'm talking about. Everybody has their stories about some kind of suffering for Christ's sake. Do you have a story? Because some people, they have things that happen in their family. Some things happen. And so I want to go ahead and, before we get into all that, I want to go ahead and invite you into the beginning of the early church. in Acts chapter 3. We even have a song where kids sing about this. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were on the way to pray, and there was a lame man. And he had been lame, he was like 40 years old or something. And he'd been lame all of his life. And they reached down, and in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, they reach up and he receives his healing. And we have that song there, jumping and leaping and praising God. And in the midst of this moment, because everybody knows who this guy is, everybody knows who this guy is. He's been a standard feature for decades. Right there. Everybody knows who this is. And while he clung after his healing, he clung to Peter and John, verse 11 of Acts 3. All the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or stare at us as though by our power or piety we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we witness, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of all. And now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did also our rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, thus he fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back from your sins, that they may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and then he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, Lord God, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after also proclaimed these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant of God made with our fathers, with your fathers, saying, Abraham, in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Now he's preaching along here. He's preaching along here. And people are beginning to, their hearts are being invaded with this, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a boldness. And the boldness, the word boldness does not mean loud. It doesn't mean brash. Basically, it just means a free flow declaration in the midst of anything that could be threatening you. Isn't that interesting? But so here's what happens next. As they were speaking to the people, da-dum, 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 the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number was 5,000. The miracle testimony of that man being there 40 years old, 40 years. Grab a hold of that. And they're saying, hey, this didn't happen too long ago. You all, you know, yelled out Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. And they swapped in the author of life. You will kill him, but he's risen from the dead. And by his name, this man. So repent of your sins. Repent of your wickedness. And 5,000 people did that day. And it really upset the religious folks. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. It says, for many of them who had heard the word believed, and the number was 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I want to hear at least one amen. There's something that happens inside of you when you take time to be with the Lord. But seeing the man who was healed, standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. And when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For there that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let him go. And finding no way to punish him because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For a man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and elders, what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, this is the prayer: "Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit," and this is Psalm 2 he's quoting, "why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through your name, through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Anybody need this today? We need to gather around the power of what's released when we come into the vital, life-giving, healing, delivering presence of the God who gave himself. And Jesus gave himself upon the cross for us. He suffered for us. And since there's not a lot of... somebody told me this morning, I said, the title today of the message is, what's this about suffering for Christ? And I forgot who it was, but they said, that's the theme apparently many in the body of Christ are speaking now. I had no idea. I haven't been like up to date with everybody else. I spent a lot of time yesterday studying something completely different. And I enjoyed it so much. And I want to tell you all about it. But then I said, okay, it's not feeling like the fresh fire, you know what I mean? It's like the fresh. So I go, I said, honey, I'm going to go to bed. I went to bed at 8 o'clock. I got up at 4 in the morning. Okay. Okay, Lord, it's me and you. It's kind of like, it's like when bakers get up, you know, we're going to go get the dough and put it in the oven and cook the bread early in the morning. What was that lady that said, how come every time I come home with organic vegetables, I open the bag and it's always regular donuts? It's a problem. I don't know what happened to those vegetables. I have no idea why that came in there, but it's funny. Oh, my God. That's a miracle. That's what it is. That's a miracle. I think we need a little levity because we're talking about such a heavy subject. nudge somebody next to you and say, we're talking about suffering for Christ. Go ahead, Don. Some will want a donut after this. Oh, hallelujah. So I want us to broach the subject, get it out on the table, and let's talk about this because I don't want you to be ignorant of it. And in fact, I'm going to try to get the video of this guy. I want to go ahead and recommend it to you on YouTube. If you type in millions of Muslims converting to Christianity, you'll see Father Zacharias, a Coptic priest who's preaching on the airwaves and powerful. This is about 15 minutes long. I was going to edit some of it. There's also, there's like 2.5 million Christians in Egypt, and that was in 2012. That's growing every day. And he has a $60 million bounty on his head. And the guy posted the idea in there, said that to give you an idea of how serious the Muslims are about killing this guy, because people are coming to the Lord in droves through this television thing. He actually talks to imams and different people on the phone and goes through the Quran and the Bible discounting those beliefs. It's amazing. So you got to hear it, see the guy. He's really anointed powerfully, and he's had to move out of his, he's on, you know, they have $60 million. We only put $25 million on Osama bin Laden. Isn't that something? That's how much of a threat he is to that violent culture. Because that's a violent, violent, violent spirit. And there's many, 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 many coming out from underneath that. Many, many, many multitudes. There's a great move of God to bring them out from under the violence of that, because the Muslim people are soft-hearted people. They're good people. That's just a powerful, wicked thing going on through that. So we want to pray for them. And this other, read an article, says we need to take, as far as the concept of suffering is concerned, we need to take cues from some of the people over there. They ask a 60-year-old lady, believer, because they understand suffering better than we do. I said, what would you do if your son was murdered? What would you do to the people who did it? I said, first I would pray for their hearts to be enlightened to who Jesus is, and then I would invite them to my home. Now, you got to have something going on inside of you of the work of the Holy Spirit for that kind of responsiveness, right? And so the first fill in the blank here, I just wanted to give you one word at a time. It's the reality. The reality of suffering for Christ's sake. The reality of it. There's scripture there, is in 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. Look on your paper there. I want you to look at this scripture with me. Indeed. Everybody say indeed. Now say all. Don't say some. There, you didn't. Good. That's good. I'll say a few. Say all. Say all. All who desire. Say desire. Would you do the same? All who desire to live godly. To live a godly life. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All. All who, it didn't say even live it. It just said desire to live it. Let's just let that settle in for a moment. Let the reality of the Word of God settle in our hearts for a minute. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's the nature of it. This life is so quick and so short and so fast. I'm 60 years old, and it went by quicker than you can imagine. So it's really about eternity. The decisions today are about eternity, right? Watch. Look at the next verse. While evil people, there's one category, and imposters, and that's people pretending to be good people. That's another category. And they will go on from what? Bad to what? Worse. And what is the state of their mind and heart? Deceiving and being deceived. So that's why. That's why when you remove, I mentioned this before, taking, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, not everybody's here, but taking the concept from the Word of God that the all Scripture's inspired, breathed upon by God, there's a breath in it. And then the Bible teaches that when you gaze upon the Word of God, it's a mirror. And so the mirror with the breath. So you put the Ten Commandments in a public place, and the mirror with the breath is there. You put it in school, and kids walk by, and the mirror with the breath is there. The mirror with the breath is there. You remove it, and the mirror is gone with the breath. It's gone. So you remove the presence of the life-giving Word that puts boundaries on people. You remove it. So there's no conviction. The conviction is gone. See? And so that's the war that's being waged. And when you throw out the Word of God, it's the salt of the soul, the light of the Word. When you get rid of all that, you have lawlessness. Right? And that's what we're suffering from. And brokenness because of all that. So that's the condition. So that's we don't need to hear a lot about that. We just need to hear, hey, guess what? It's a reality. So when something happens, turn to the Lord. Now let's look at the next. Actually, before we run there, I want to mention one other thing. The reality of... Yeah, that's... How many of you remember this too? If you grew up in a little kids' church or kids... There's this guy's name... We used to kid around and say there was my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. We used to call them that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew children. Remember that? And Nebuchadnezzar built a big golden statue, an image, and he commanded everybody to bow down and worship it. Oh, man, this thing's alive, isn't it? This government official has this... Don't worship the way you want to. Worship this way. Leave all your convictions behind and do this. And when we play this music, I'll bow down to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And so some people told on them. Took them to Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, well, what we're going to do then is we're going to start up this furnace. And we're going to throw them in the fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot. It was 7 times hotter than normal. The men that took them to throw them in there, they died. That's how hot it was. The soldiers taking them to the furnace all died. And then they got to looking around inside. And they were counting. There's 4 guys in there. We threw 3 in, and there's a 4th guy walking around in there. There's 4 people in the fire. Who is that 4th? It looks like a son of God in there. We know what they said before they were thrown in. It don't matter if we die or not. We're not bowing. It doesn't matter to us. Whether he delivers us or not, we're not bowing. That was the level of conviction. We're not bowing. And so now, they go down and they look in there. That's boldness. They look in there, that's confidence, isn't it? Somebody say confidence. That's like recently in the news when the lady said, this is amazing that we're talking this way. But 21 people had their heads decapitated and they were looking at their lips and they're saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. No, I'm not going to. If he delivers me or not, guess what the best deliverance is? Eternally in His glory. It's amazing we're in this situation here. But the reality is, if you desire to live godly, live a godly life, it comes, right? So you have these dynamics. Worldwide outpouring of the Spirit. I'm anticipating God doing some great things. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because we're anticipating God doing great things. Are you there? Let's go ahead and put our hearts together and say, Lord, we just ask for healings. We ask for miracles. We ask for the signs that come when we proclaim your name. We ask for the casting out of things that don't belong in people. We ask for the healing of their hearts. We ask for the move of your Spirit. Amen? Nebuchadnezzar, after that, rethought the whole thing. These guys are cool. These guys are cool. In fact, their God is greater than our God.
Amen.
And that's the transaction that goes on.
Yeah.
How can you die in peace? How can you go through a trial? How can you? Because there's something that happens in the midst of you suffering when you're standing there and you're not bucking and running and you're not full of fear, but you're standing there trusting in Jesus. That's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Because there's the next one. There's a role. The next one is not just the reality of suffering, the role of suffering for Christ. There's the role of that. 1 Peter 2:21 is in your notes there. This is really quite an extraordinary verse. Tell the person next to you, for to this you have been called. To this you have been called. To this you have been called. Now hang on to your seats, because this is it. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in His steps. To this you have been called. To this you have been called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in His steps. To this you have been called. To this you have been called. Following in the steps of the one who modeled for us. I'm going to continue on. It says he committed no sin. The next verse, two verses after that. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And this is the modeling that he did. Ready? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That is extraordinary. So the role of it is that we become a reflection. You know how when God made the sun, and he says, I'm going to make the moon, and the moon's going to reflect the sun. So the greater light is going to be reflected on the lesser light. So we're the reflection. And we reflect the sun, S-O-N. And there's something that happens, and there's story after story after story where people have done all kinds of manner of cruel things. You know the fellow that's over in the Iranian prison now? Saeed, I can't remember his name. I always get these names mixed up. Saeed. His dad came to visit him. 20-minute prison visit. 20 minutes. They begin to talk and share about Jesus and worship. And the guards let them keep going. They were feeling the presence of God 2 hours later. 20 minutes into 2 hours. God's presence, because they're worshiping Jesus. They know whoever we're serving any right, these guys got it going on. That's why the prison guards that held Paul got saved. When Paul was in prison, all of the Roman guards around him got saved because of the presence of Jesus Christ. We serve a wonderful God. And there's something about this that the more suffering, do you know there's a price, still today, there's a price on Leslie Kegel's head. Leslie Kegel is the overseer of in Sri Lanka for Foursquare. And I'd love to tell his stories, because Leslie would show up. They would hit a price on his head, a price on his head. He got more guys saved in Parliament over there, and they were secret Christians. The Muslims, they get elected, and then he'd go visit with them, and they get saved. And he would always show up like Daniel and tell them, you know, hey, there's a price out on your head, and there's something going on. He would have a vision at home, and he'd drive over there and say, and he had tinted windows because there's a price on his head. And he always leave a different way, but he'd go in and talk with the prime minister and says, somebody's trying to kill you. And they trusted him. And so then they go and figure it out, and they uncover the plot. And so he did it so many times, like Daniel in Babylon. And this today, still got a price on his head. And so there's something about the suffering that increases anointing. So when you go through the squeeze, there's something that is added to you. I'm not sure if it increases the anointing or if it just gets more of you out of the way so more of it come through. I don't know how that works exactly. I don't know if God puts more on you. I know that when Paul, I was looking through those stories of first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, before he would like rebuke it, you know, tell it to leave and be there in person. And by the third journey, he's just wiping his brow with a rag and people touching it miles away and getting free. Because he's going through suffering, something's increasing. The power of God's increasing. Is this good to hear this? So when there's a great threat and God keeps you, He bears witness by His power. Hallelujah. So there's a role of it, the purpose of what it accomplishes. To be forged in Christ's image and to develop a bond with the Lord. Paul said it this way, Philippians 3, verse 7. Let's lean in and enjoy this. I just love this verse. Whatever gain I had, by the way, right before he says this, he says these words three times. He says, put no confidence in the flesh. Just tell somebody next to you, put no confidence in your flesh. Don't put the confidence there. He says it three different ways. He says, if anybody could, I could. But then he says this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Here it is. For His sake, I have suffered. Go ahead. For His sake, I have suffered, he says, the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And I used to, as a young believer, I didn't like this verse. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I really like that part. I want to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection. And may share His sufferings. I didn't like that part. Sharing His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. That by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. There's something here about the role that Jesus is deeper and sweeter in your soul than ever. Deeper and sweeter than you could ever imagine. You talk to people that have gone through really hard times and this says, I don't know how I made it through, just the Lord was there. Go ahead and just say, the Lord makes up the difference. And lastly, the reward. The reward. There's a reality of suffering, and we need to wrap our heads around the reality of that. And there's a role that it plays in our life. But ultimately, there's a reward of it. Let's look at the verse. Blessed are you when others revile. This is Jesus talking, by the way, Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't know her name, but she's a florist in Oregon, I believe. And they tried to work out a deal with her and said instead of, she wouldn't sell some flowers to certain people. She'd employ people and do all kinds of things. I'm not going to say it loud, but you know the story. Has to do with sexual identity issues. Because that's happening. And so she said, no, not for that. I don't believe in that kind of wedding. I believe in the Bible. And they said, well, we'll just fine you $2,000 and just a dollar for the attorney's fees if you go ahead and serve them with the flowers. And she said, no. You can take my house. You can destroy my business. You can destroy me. But I'm not doing it. Because this is not about me being tolerant. This is about you taking away my religious freedom. And that's one of the privileges of this country. And I'm not doing it. And then she's on the news. She says, if they come in after me, you're next. So why don't we talk about it a little bit here? Right? But there's a reward, and her reward is that right now she's giving confidence to people. She's a grandma who walks with Jesus Christ. We said this before, but when people can't get God to condone what they're doing, they turn to the government to do it. And now we need a revival. We need a work of God. Is that right? And in the midst of that, understand that there's a reward. Just put a smile on your face and tell the person, rejoice and be glad. Just go ahead and do that for me. I think I wanted to make Jesus happy right here. I just wanted to have Jesus kind of crack a smile for a minute. Says, that's good, Roger. That's good. Because how many of you are going to jump up and down and rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted? Let's go ahead and just get that in our system, that we're going to please the Lord, because the reward is, it may not be right here, but maybe there. And you'll be happy you did. There's one other, I'll skip that one. Let's go, come on to the keyboard, and let's go ahead and hand out our communion time. And I'll keep talking. I want to read this part right here. This is 2 Timothy 2, starting with verse 11. This is a trustworthy saying. Let me just tell you what. Let me start with verse 8. Go ahead with begin again. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and the offspring of David. I got one. As preached in my gospel, for which I'm suffering. Paul's in jail, in prison for Christ, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's writing this from prison, bound with his chains as a criminal. But the Word of God is not bound. Everybody say that. The Word of God is not bound. It's funny how, now he wrote a few of the epistles to the churches when he was on the road, you know, like I think he wrote to Thessalonians when he was over in Corinth, and I think he wrote to Corinth when he was maybe in somewhere like Ephesians or something. He was writing, but then he gets in prison, and now he's writing to Philippians, he's writing a cluster of letters, and he's writing pastor. It's like the Lord saying, okay, now we're going to use this downtime to write the Bible. Isn't that amazing? So he says, the Word of God is not bound. I'm in here writing. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may attain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he's talking about, what I'm about is not really about all here, it's about there. This is the trustworthy saying. If we have died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And get this, guys. This is what I believe many need to hear. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And nobody wants to hear that. They want to have some kind of out. But if you deny Jesus Christ, he denies you. Just it. Sounds so mean. But the fact is, he holds us to something. I died for you. Will you follow me and sell out to me? This is all about eternity and ever, forever and ever. Will you do that? Oh, you don't? Well, that's a bad place to be. And we've been soft, real soft, when it comes to just eternal things. You need the Lord. Go ahead and tell the person next to you, you need the Lord to be the Lord's. You need the Lord to be the Lord's. Because God never asks you to do anything that you can't, that He doesn't empower you to do it. He's never done that. He'll never do that. So don't be religious and say it's too hard. Just turn to Jesus and give it all to Him, and He'll empower it. He'll empower it. That's what He's after the whole time. Alrighty. I've just got to finish. Lift this up. Does yours have little holes in it? That's the example of suffering. Jesus was pierced. And I love this analogy that when they put the thorny crown on his head, everything that has come to pierce your mind and to cause you pain mentally, he'll remove it. Because he's taken that point of suffering over your mental condition away by suffering for you. He's done that. Isn't that wonderful? And they pushed that thing down on his head, and those thorns punctured his skin. And there are things that you've faced in life that have punctured your mind. And the Lord takes those things and causes there to be a remedy. Because he says, I have died for that. And he removes the things that have been a torment to you. Will you allow him to do that now if there's one or two things that pop up in your mind? There could be something recent or something in your history that's always been a pain to you. The Lord said, let me take the torment out of your mind. Let me do it right now. Father God, we want to thank you that you suffered for us. And we understand you gave the suffering for us an example, but we thank you that your suffering was not without effect. And the effect is the healing of our souls, the healing of our minds, the forgiveness of our whole life, and everything that comes with that. So we want to praise you in advance for wholeness coming to us. And we don't always know now every way you do it. But we thank you that while we're in your presence right here, right now at your table, that you have a transaction for each of us at our point of need. And we don't want to walk away without having done the transaction and being somehow acting like you're not enough or something. Because you're more than enough. If there's a healing in your body that you need, and you just need it, let's claim it right now. The healing, the efficacy of Jesus' stripes presented right here will heal you. The word migraine came to my mind. If you struggle with migraines, I'm asking the Lord right now to heal you, to release you from migraines, and that you never have another one ever again. That the root causes of that go. I don't usually sit around thinking of stuff like that, but that came to my just appeared in my mind right there. So I'm going to say, Lord, we just thank you for breaking the power of migraines. Whoever may suffer with that, we just ask today this healing. Wow, that would fit, wouldn't it? Where something pierces your mind, feels like something's stabbing your brain. The Lord says, I want to take that out of your life. Hallelujah. Let's praise him for a minute. Praise you, Lord. We just thank you for a healing grace over every person here. Any kind of mental torment, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, any kind, we just thank you for the change that you make in us through embracing Jesus in the midst of it. We will not suffer unnecessarily. We rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. We rebuke sickness. It's not in the covenant. It's not from you. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's partake together. Praise the Lord. Paul was there on that day. And it was the day when Stephen was preaching, and he's preaching to the same kind of people that Peter and John were preaching to. And Stephen started with the Old Testament and went all the way up and worked up his message, worked right up to the Jesus Christ. And they picked up stones and started to stone him. And he looked up, but he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. I think the reward is just bringing glory to God in the midst. And then he fell asleep, it says. And here we come today, and it's time to go, but I want to just say one more thing. Even Psalm 23 says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, and thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Behold the table. Hallelujah. Let's partake. Hallelujah, Lord. Those who are going to be praying on the platform, just hustle on up if you could. Let's stand together just for a moment. Are you glad we talked about this today? Almost wish we could start over. and do it again. Because I want it driven down inside of me. I want the power of the Word inside of me. I want to experience what those who love the Lord experience. I want to see the miracle touches, don't you? I want to see the things that matter to Jesus' heart. And you are His hands and His feet. Wow, praise the Lord. Thank you for forgiving us our sins. Thank you for washing us and cleansing us and freeing us from the bondage to death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for overthrowing those things that would have bound us and breaking their power. Thank you so much for healing the bruises of our souls and our hearts. Thank you for washing us and cleansing us and empowering us freshly with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all of these riches in Christ, these mysteries that we have because we walk with you. Thank you, Lord. Pray for every person here, Lord, that we would walk with you faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. Hallelujah. And the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's love on the Lord together.